All right. Tonight, for just a few moments, I was given the choice of whatever I wanted to talk about. And I have chosen to talk about prayer because it is something that I'm sure we all, you know, strive to grow in. And just in recent weeks and months, it's just kind of been a focus for myself personally. And I ended up pulling out, yes, Cheryl McIntosh is here. This, I got this little prayer journal at the Briar Church of Christ where they had a ladies' day several years ago. And, you know, sometimes they give a gift and things like that. And I got this prayer journal. And, you know, you just kind of put it to the side. And then lately I had pulled it out and had been utilizing it. And, of course, when this one is filled up, I'm about halfway full there. You know, you can guess any notebook will work just fine, right? So I wanted to share with you some thoughts on prayer for our short time tonight. One of my favorite things to do, and has always been as I've taught classes, is to look at different prayers in the Bible. And so we're going to go first to 2 Kings chapter 19. And this is Hezekiah's prayer. And we're going to look at this one, and then we're going to look at the prayer in Daniel chapter 9 in just a moment. And we're just going to look at a couple of characteristics of those prayers as we think about our own prayer life and how we approach our Heavenly Father. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 19, and this was a very troubling time in King Hezekiah's life. He's king of the southern nation, Judah. And the Assyrians are on his doorstep. Sennacherib is there. The northern kingdom has already been taken by the Assyrians, and Hezekiah knows that he's next, right? And so he receives a letter from Sennacherib, Hezekiah does, and he takes that letter. And if you look in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14, he takes that letter that he receives from his enemy, and he takes it to God. And so look at 2 Kings 19, verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He took his problem and he literally spread it before God. And how many times do we have a situation that we take and we spread it before God, right? I mean, Hezekiah literally, it says, took his letter and did that. But we know figuratively, we take our problems and we can spread it before God. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. All right, before Hezekiah gets to his petition and gives the specifics of what he is begging God for, he begins in verse 15 with acknowledging who God is. He says in verse 15, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. He begins his prayer with an acknowledgement of who he is talking to. And we're going to talk about that some more here in just a few moments. All right, go next to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. All right, Daniel is also in a time of trouble. He is in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. And he prays, of course, we know in Daniel chapter 6, as was his custom, he prayed, right, and was thrown into the lion's den for that. But here in Daniel chapter 9, we just have a specifically worded prayer, and we have the words of his prayer that he prays here in Daniel chapter 9. And we're not going to read this whole thing, but let's look at how it starts. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. And Daniel goes on and on and on about how his nation had rebelled against God and had done wrong, had worshipped idols, and hence were suffering consequences. And it's not until verse 16 that he begins to get to his petition. First, just like Hezekiah back in verse 4, he acknowledged who God was. He acknowledged who the God was that he was praying to. And he said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and those who keep his commandments. So just like Hezekiah, he started off with acknowledging who God was. And then in beginning in verse 5 and really all the way through verse 15, Daniel focused on the sin of the people and confessed the sin of the people. And we'll talk about that more here shortly. And then in verse 16, we get to his petition, where he petitions God and says, let your anger and your fury be turned away. Verse 17, hear our prayer, hear our supplication. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. So he gets to his petition part there. All right, so other example prayers we could have looked at, which we don't have time to. 1 Kings 8 is Solomon's prayer. That's a good one to look at as well. Nehemiah chapter 9 with the Levites and those spiritual leaders there is an excellent prayer to listen to look at. And even Luke chapter 11, where Jesus' model prayer is, which I think one of the reasons that Jesus' model prayer is there is to show us that we don't have to be very flowery in our prayers, because of course Jesus condemned those of his day that were showing off in their prayers, right? And yet Jesus in his model prayer just prayed a very simple and humble prayer as an example to his disciples. All right, so perhaps some of you, as we think about our prayer life, have heard the acronym before, ACTS, A-C-T-S, and some of you may have heard this, and we're just going to discuss this just shortly here, or just briefly here. The word ACTS, the letters A-C-T-S, spells ACTS, and then the A in ACTS stands for adoration. And so is in our prayer life to God that we can begin our prayers with an adoration, just as Hezekiah and Daniel did, with an acknowledgement of who God is. And we're going to talk about that some more here in just a moment. The C in ACTS for confession. A humble confession about who we are. Think about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? And remember what the tax collector said. He simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so an acknowledgement of specific sins or just a general humility and humbleness in our prayers to God. So the A for adoration, the C for confession, the T for thanksgiving. And three New Testament passages I want to just briefly mention. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? And so there you see prayer coupled with thanksgiving. God wants us to approach him with a thankful heart. Right after that is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where you see the same thing. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. He wants us to pray to him. That's what the Philippians 4 passage said. He wants us to petition him. He wants us to ask for things. And how great is that we have a God like that, right, that wants us to ask for things. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He wants us to do that. But he wants us to do it with a thankful heart, remembering our blessings that he has blessed us with. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, same thing, prayer with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And so I want to close with something that as I have been developing this in my own life And finding that writing things down helps my focus in my personal prayer life, because if you're like me, you can get very distracted in your thinking, and you can start off praying, and then before you know it, you're thinking, you know, about what you need to cook for dinner or something, right? I mean, it just happens because we're so busy. And so I have found that taking that pen and paper in hand and actually writing it down helps keep me focused. And of course, we're all very different in that, and we're all in very different seasons of life and all those kinds of things. This is just working for me right now. Now, in conjunction with doing this and kind of thinking about the ACTS, A-C-T-S, which I had heard years ago, and thinking about this adoration, I ran across in my study, I think the first one, let's just go first of all to Ephesians 3:20. This has always been one of my favorite chapters, or my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, because of the superlatives in the verse about, again, who God is. As it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." It's always been one of my very favorite verses. Then recently I ran across this verse. Go over to Jude, verse, and Jude only has one chapter, verses 24 and 25. And after knowing Ephesians 3:20 for so long, and then running across this verse, I started to think about the similarities of it. So this is one of my new favorite verses, Jude, verse 24 and 25. And it's really simply a praise to God about who God is, kind of like the doxologies, you hear that term sometimes. 24 and 25, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." So as I think about my personal prayers, and I ran across this verse and thought about the adoration and, you know, how I can give praise to God, it became very simple to write these verses down. And you can take them and just turn the pronouns around a little bit. You know, Paul or Jude in this one, and Paul in Ephesians is you know, reminding the people about, is just a praise to God with the people, right? But we can just turn the pronouns around and just pray it directly to God. "Now to you who are able to keep us from stumbling," this is verse 24, "to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy, to you who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." See how that can turn into a prayer? And then I realized Ephesians 3:20 is the same way. "Now to you who are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to you be glory in the church." And so then, you know, both of these verses start with "now to him, now to him, now to him be glory and honor, now to him." And so I just, in my mind now, I'm calling them the "now to him" passages. And so I thought of another one, 1 Timothy 1:17. This is the last one I'll read. I'll give you some others, but I'll read this one. Now, 1 Timothy 1:17, I don't know if there's anyone like me that learned this as a teenager as a song. "Now to the King, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God." Yeah, I see the heads nodding. And so this is in the New King James Version. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to a God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And so again, it's another "now to him" passage, but you can turn that into a prayer. And now, and in your prayer, say, "Now to you who are eternal, immortal, invisible, wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Notice similar words in all three of these passages, the 1 Timothy one, the Ephesians one, the Jude one. You see the words glory. You see the words wise, forever and ever. You see that. You see amen at the end of all of them. Some other "now to him" passages, Philippians 4:6 is one. Nope, sorry, that's not it. Oh, I didn't write them down. Oh, I do have them down. Never mind. A little booklet here. Romans 16:25 is one. Philippians 4:20. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. And I found another one the other day and didn't write it down. So there's more to be discovered in the Bible of these now to him passages. So I just wanted to share these few thoughts on prayer with you that have helped me in my own personal prayer life. Again, thinking about the prayers of the Bible and these men that prayed. And I meant to say this about Hezekiah, that first one we started with, 2 Kings 19. After he prayed that prayer, it specifically says, and God heard his prayer. And that's a comfort, that if we can be like Hezekiah and take our problems to the Lord and we're trying to live faithful lives and obedient to him, that he hears our prayer and he does hear our petitions. Supplication. I thank you. And the reason that got left off is because we don't have a problem with that, right? I mean, that's where we start usually. And again, this is not, you know, we can state this too. This is not a prescription that you have to pray your prayer in this order, right? I mean, there's some good to do that, right? But I think more than anything, it's the heart that we come to God with, remembering who he is, remembering our sins and who we are, being thankful. And then the S is the supplications, asking God for things.